shit from the
You're gonna hate me because I come to your town and we beat your team.
You're now tuned in to one of the realest sports podcasts for Kentucky basketball.
Three in the air, good again!
And football.
The Kentucky defense steps up again.
Just an opinionated Kentucky sports fan podcast.
Maybe that's a Kentucky accent.
With Jay Hayes and JD Hall. Woo! This is what we do.
Let's go!
Religiously Kentucky.
Big Blue Nation, what the hell is up? I'm floating today. I'm your guy, Jay Hayes, and he is.
Normally his voice of reason, JD Hall, but I'm going to let him go on his thing today.
Yeah, we are Religiously Kentucky. Let's just take it in. You know, just for a moment, let's just take it in.
Yeah! It's a party, it's a party, it's a party. Yeah! It's a party, it's a party, it's a party.
Take it in, Big Blue Nation. Oh, man. What a game.
I'm jealous of everybody that was in Lexington last night.
Right, right.
Everybody.
Right.
People that live in Lexington, people that went to the game.
It was lit.
All you MFers that were in Lexington last night, I'm jealous.
Man.
That includes my wife and kid.
Yeah, what a game, man. I would just like to point out, though, that we, Religiously Kentucky, predicted it.
Mm-hmm.
And I've been saying...
Your score was pretty close. Your score?
Yeah.
What'd you pick? Like, 21-10?
Yeah.
Isn't that what you picked?
Yeah.
So...
And we had... Did we have a doubt that Kentucky would beat Florida?
Survey said...
Oh, I think there was doubt there just because of the way Kentucky had played the last couple of games. But there was, you could see what Kentucky could do, especially on the defensive side of the ball, right? The way that they shut down South Carolina, the way that they, I mean, they dominated ULM. So you could see what Kentucky could do on the defensive side of the ball.
Right. But so it was an uncertainty.
Was there, it was by no means was it out or an upset. On the scoreboard and on the betting line, yeah, it's going to be an upset because they were favored by 7.5.
Right, right.
But everybody who's followed the Kentucky football program since Mark Stoops has been there,
yeah,
knows that when they play Florida, we don't take shit outside of a couple of years, it's always been a good game.
Always been a good game.
So they just match up well with what Florida wants to do.
Right.
And the way that the Kentucky football program plays football, it matches up well for the Florida football program and right. what they're trying to do.
Right.
And now we've got Dan Mullen, the head coach of Florida, who's lost twice in 4 years. And the other coaches that were coaching at Florida didn't lose a game in 35 years to Kentucky.
Yeah.
And now Dan Mullen's lost two.
Yeah.
So how warm is Mullen's seat going to get down there in Gainesville since he can't beat Kentucky on a consistent basis anymore?
Right.
You know, we've been talking all year about Kentucky needing to take that next step,
yeah,
to become that next program in line behind your Alabamas and your Georgias. Last night was that step. Was the first one of those steps.
Unbeaten teams in the SEC.
To take that next spot behind Alabama, behind Georgia.
Right.
You put yourself in a position, especially with the Georgia game coming up, for that to be for the SEC East.
Yeah, that's right.
You set yourself up by winning that game last night to take that trip to Atlanta.
Yeah, big steps. And you
three teams undefeated in the SEC.
Right, I was about to say, and you pointed right at it, you know, Alabama, Georgia, and University Kentucky. Of Kentucky.
Mm-hmm. And what do those three schools all have in common? Great defense.
Yeah.
Facts.
So...
You know, someone told me real quick, you said the great defense. Someone told me, you know, it's not about the defenses no more. This is new football. Because I'm old school. I will say defense wins championships. I'm a firm believer in that.
Yes.
And it's defense showing to be travels. True. Yes.
And defense travels. I know we're in football season, but I always say that about the basketball team.
Yeah.
I argue with my cousin about this all the f***ing time. When Kentucky's struggling to score the ball,
yeah,
I'm like, but Brian, my cousin, Brian Hall, shout out. They have to play defense. And if they don't play defense, it doesn't matter how good they can score.
Yeah.
Because they're not going to win the game.
Yep.
So same thing applies in football. It doesn't matter how great your offense is. Because coming into this game, Florida was averaging like 37 points a game.
Yeah.
like almost 500 yards in total offense a game. And take out the last two drives when Mark Stoops and Brad White decided to go more conservative, yeah, give them the underneath throws, make them run off time. I hate that, but it worked last night. They had like 80 yards in offense in the second half.
Yeah.
Kentucky and Florida combined for like 150 yards in total offense in the second half until Florida's last two drives.
Right. You would have had to watch this game, because if you didn't watch this game and you go to the stats and you're like,
yeah,
they must have a misprint here. 2013 Kentucky.
They must be flipped or something. Yeah.
Right. Right. Cause then you look at these stats, you know, 382 Florida total yards, 224 Kentucky passing yards, 211 Florida, 87 mm-hmm. Kentucky. 171 rushing yards, Florida, 137 for Kentucky. So you go look at it, and then, you know, you're looking down through here, and I want to point this out. 15 penalties for Florida, 115 yards.
Mm-hmm. Shout out to the crowd. Because
Big Blue Nation.
How many times did they influence those false starts? What was it, 8, 9 false starts in that game?
Yeah.
You know, and
at one point, I saw someone call Florida false start you.
I saw that too.
Yeah, that was funny.
But it seemed like they always came at the best time for Kentucky too.
Yeah.
Always on third down, fourth down. You know, they had those two on this, I think the second drive, on Florida's second drive, back to back to push them out of field goal range, I believe, and force that punt. You know, so the crowd was phenomenal last night.
Unbelievable, yeah.
And the split crowd worked.
Yeah.
If you saw pictures, the blue and white, our fans did it.
Yeah.
Because guess what? Our fans will do things that they're asked to do.
Yeah. Matt Jones, you know, said it'd never work.
It would never work. Right. But they proved him wrong.
Matt Jones. But, you know, talking about how great the defense was, and a shout out to Big Blue Nation. Let me get into this soundbite post game, Brad White.
I just want to start with this. I can't thank Big Blue Nation enough. The amount of false starts that they caused because of, you know, it caused all that pre-snap communication issue for them, because that the crowd was so loud, and so they were really the 12th man for us, and we appreciate the heck out of it, and we're going to need it all season. So I want to make sure I got that in first, because they were awesome. It was an electric atmosphere. The guys fed off it. Obviously, it put us in some good situations, you know, took us out of some third and shorts and put us into the third and mediums, you know, which are, or even, you know, back-to-back and get us into a third and long. So those were huge. Confidence and trust. We talked about it last night, you know, in our night meeting, you know, about, you know, what happened in South Carolina and the calm that our guys had going out on that field. And that comes with the fact that they trust, they know what they have to do, and they trust the teammate next to them that he's going to do it. And so there's a calm, and anytime they get put in those situations, like you bring them over the sideline or you send them onto the field, and they're great. There's no anxiety. There's a heightened awareness that you got to step up and you've got to play. And, hey, you know, we need a little bit more of that early in drives, you know, when they're backed up, you know. But they have played really well with their backs against the wall. So, well, Josh Pascal does amazing things for our defense, not just tonight, but every time he steps on the field. He's an absolute war daddy. And, I mean, the blocked field goal was a game changer. But it was more than that. I mean, play after play after play, you know, he's in the backfield. You know, he his effort, like, everybody feeds off that. And so I feed off it, you know, as a play caller. I try to call up things to get him going, you know, or get some matchups.
Josh Pascal was a beast in this game.
An absolute monster in this game. Probably the best game he's played in a Kentucky uniform.
He was active.
I was at the Mississippi State game last year when he had that interception and just ran out of gas.
Right.
At like the 5-yard line.
Yeah, right.
That blocked field goal last night was a bigger play than what he did in that game with that interception.
Right. Let me ask you this. How long before someone scoops Brad White up and he's gone?
Because here's the thing. Like, we've had great defenses at Kentucky under Brad White.
Yeah.
Right? But they're not flashy, are they? There's not a lot of wild plays from our defense. They don't create a lot of havoc by blitzing, you know,
right,
five or six guys on, you know, all the time, like Todd Grantham likes to do. But they're solid. They do their job. They do their assignment. They don't try to do too much. And they keep everything in front of them usually. So I don't know if that's necessarily going to get him a job somewhere else. I mean, if that makes sense at all.
Yeah, yeah. I mean, I see what you're saying. Because I think it will, though.
It might. But a lot of when teams are changing defensive coordinators or changing offensive coordinators, a lot of them like to make a splash. They like to bring in a guy that's going to be like, that's going to excite their fan base for the guy they're bringing in.
Right.
Does Brad White do that for some of these fan bases? I don't know. Would he be able to do at another school what he's doing at Kentucky with different personnel? I don't know.
I think so, because he's been consistent.
I'm not saying he can't.
Right.
But it's like, you know, I don't know. I'm trying to think of an example of a coach that was great somewhere else, and they're just slipping my mind right now.
Yeah, I see exactly what you're saying.
Matt Doherty, when he went from Notre Dame to North Carolina, did great at Notre Dame. Shit the bed when he got to North Carolina. You know, and all the fans, when they hired him, were like, wow, he's coming home. He's our dude. He's going to be great.
Right.
Wasn't the case. So I like Brad White where he's at, but I don't know if he's going to be that splash guy that some of these other schools are going to want to make, especially if he's going somewhere else. You got to think he's going to a bigger program,
right,
than Kentucky, because you don't want to take a lateral move. You don't want to go to a program that's on the same level as Kentucky. You want to take that next step and go up.
Right.
So is there a school out there that's above Kentucky that's going to take Brad White in to make that splash? And I don't know if there is. I hope he doesn't.
Right. Right.
Because he's been great for Kentucky.
Right.
I think him and Stoops work well together.
Yeah, and I was going to say that the defense has been great. Well, give me a grade on the defense in this Florida game.
A.
I said A++ because Kentucky finally played somebody. And I mean, yes, 5-0, but Kentucky finally played somebody. A top 10 offense. So A++, they got the job done. I mean, seven or eight plays inside the 10 yard?
Eight plays inside the 15, I believe.
Got moved back with penalties, right. But
and you know that heartbroken Kentucky football fan inside of me.
Right.
When they had that fourth down and we forced the first incomplete pass on fourth down with, like, I don't know, a minute to go or whatever it was.
Right.
And then they threw the flag for the face mask.
Yeah.
And I was like, ah, shit. That's the play that's going to come back to bite Kentucky in the ass.
Right.
Because we've seen that so many times, especially in these Florida games. And they didn't give up.
Right.
They did everything that they needed to do. And the crowd, you know, you had two more false starts down there on that drive. So, like, it's an amazing feeling as a Kentucky fan who was 7 years old the last time that they won in Lexington against Florida.
I was 10.
I don't remember that game because those games weren't on TV when I was a kid.
Right.
You know, even when I was in high school, Kentucky games weren't on TV up here where I live in Ohio.
Right.
So getting to see that happen now live was awesome.
Yeah.
Seeing the crowd and hearing it through the TV was awesome.
Right.
I can only imagine what it was like being in the stands for that game. We were there in Missouri.
Yeah.
And that crowd was electric.
It was electric. Right? It was, yeah.
And my wife, it's obvious that it was going to be that way.
Right.
But told Logan, our son, that the stands were shaking more for this game than it was Missouri.
Right.
Which obviously was going to happen. It's a bigger game.
Oh, yeah.
You know, it was more exciting. Right. So you had those big plays like the Wandale
right
pass for a touchdown. You had
which I'll say, Dan. Dan said that he knew numbers.
Mm-hmm.
Evidently, he don't know numbers. Wandale.
I bet he knows Wandale's name now.
That was funny. Yeah, that was a great play. And I was like, okay, this is the game that Kentucky's offense is finally going to put it together.
Mm-hmm.
No.
It
wasn't the game.
And I think you're starting to see some doubt. I don't know if that's the right word, but it's almost like Levis is overthinking things.
Yeah, right.
He's not trusting what he's seeing.
Yeah.
So he's holding the ball longer than he should.
Yeah.
He's taking sacks that he shouldn't take. I think there was a sack last night that live when I watched it, when I saw it the first time, and I tweeted to Van about that. It looked like he had an alley to step up.
Yeah.
To either run or throw.
Right.
But he tried to escape out the back and around the outside and got caught for a sack.
And he's a quarterback that can run the ball.
Right.
Coaching staff, tell this kid he can run the ball.
But that habit to always wanting to escape out the back and out the side is a hard habit to break.
Right.
Especially when you're an athlete, because you can think you can just get out there and run around and nobody's going to catch you.
Right.
I mean, if we're being honest, we didn't think he was going to come in and throw for 380 yards every game like he did the ULM game. First-year starter playing against SEC teams.
I will say that Kentucky and even Will Levis himself hyped him up himself up more than what it was.
They needed to, though.
And so it's been a letdown for me to see him. I mean, how many picks has he thrown so far?
I think he's thrown five or six.
You know, so, I mean.
Remember, like, three of those were off receivers' hands.
Yeah.
So.
That's true.
You can't totally fault him for that. Yeah, they weren't perfect throws.
Right.
But there were throws a receiver normally makes. It's a little bit behind him. He's a little high or whatever. They normally make those catches.
And I'm going off of he is throwing behind these guys. You know, and I listened to these announcers last night. Oh, you know, if you're smoke, you gotta make that. Oh, I bet you can't guess who sings past the Cavassier. If you're smoke, he didn't have no choice but to become a football player. I'm like, these guys.
Yeah.
I mean, but, you know, it was behind. That's a hard catch to make.
That first pass to Smoke was behind him. And that's hard for a running back to make, especially when they only reach back with one hand.
Right.
The second one to Smoke, it didn't even look like Smoke was expecting him to throw him the ball. And then Levis threw it out there because there was nobody really around. There was one guy out there.
Right.
He's had to make one guy miss, and there was nobody behind him. And it didn't look like Smoke was even expecting him to throw the ball because it was just like, oh, shit, the ball's coming. And he stuck his hand up.
Right.
So, like, people were talking about both of the passes of Smoke. I could see the first one, but not necessarily the second one, because Smoke is expecting that pass. He's maybe ready for it.
Right.
Right. The one that he threw for the interception just sailed on him.
Yeah.
You know, he had to get it up and over that linebacker that was dropping out underneath the receiver. So you do already have to throw it a little bit higher. It just sailed a little bit on him,
yeah,
and went just too high for Epps to get up there and get. So that kind of stuff happens. It happens
right.
It happens every week in the NFL.
Right, I get it.
But
at least he threw one overthrew Wandale this time instead of underthrowing him. I saw that. And goes, there you go, right. JD.
You don't want to underthrow him, but he also might. Maybe should have had another long touchdown to Wandale.
Yeah.
If he doesn't get tackled.
That's real close. Yeah.
When they showed that from the end zone angle, does Wandale get over there to that ball if he doesn't get hit? I don't know. Because that ball landed like, you know, seven yards away from where Wandale hit the ground.
It was close.
But you can't say that he wouldn't have, because he was getting bumped the entire time down the field. And at the point where he would have started breaking across to get to that ball, he was starting to get tackled. So I think Wandale could have gotten to that ball had he not gotten tackled by the corner.
Right.
And how they don't throw a flag for that blows my mind. Even if you don't call pass interference, it was at least defensive holding. So, and then they turn around on the next Florida possession and throw a flag for pass interference. That was another bullshit call.
Right. I mean, like, I wasn't too complaining with the officiating.
Those were the only two
given.
Were the only two calls that I had a complaint about in that game.
Right.
And they both went against Kentucky, obviously.
Oh yeah. Yeah.
I'm not going to complain if a call goes against Florida, you know. But they both went against Kentucky and could have changed the game.
Right. But
probably did a little.
I'll say this, though. You call it how it is. You know, if we got away with something, then we got away with something, and we let it be known, like, we might have got one there.
Right, and there wasn't anything like that either.
No. Like, and I kept watching the calls because Florida was piling them up, and I was like, damn, another one? Another one?
Right.
And they showed, like, yeah, man, it was, you know, I mean, they were sloppy. And I know
that they were talking about that last false start for Florida, and I know it's kind of a ticky-tack call for the false start, but that lineman never got set before the ball was snapped.
Right.
It's a false start. It doesn't matter. It's a false start. It doesn't matter if you think it's maybe they should have let that one go. No, like, you don't let those go, because if you let that go, then what else are you going to let go?
Right.
You know, watching the Browns game today, I think it was on Minnesota's last drive or second to last drive. Like, the entire right side of the offensive line moved before the ball was snapped, and they didn't call anything. And I'm like, what the hell? Like, because it's a 14-7 game. Right. That could have been a huge call for my Browns to go against my Browns, if, you know, if they end up scoring on that or whatever, because they didn't call a false start.
Right.
So you've got to call. You got to make those calls if they're there to be made.
Right.
Sure, you're going to miss them. Right.
Yeah.
And that one would have been easy to miss because it was on the interior of the line.
What if they missed?
I think it was called by one of the back judges or whatever.
Yeah, it was.
So it wasn't called by the side judges.
What if they missed the knee down?
If they would have, you know, that would have been a Kentucky way to lose that would have freaking game.
Exactly. And I thought, you know, that I was because, like, man.
Because I'm watching it and live, I'm like, it's obvious his knee is down.
Right.
He's down.
Right.
He was down 2 yards back. He's down.
It took him a second to be like.
And then you got the announcers are like, did they blow a whistle? Did they call him down? Yeah, they did. Like, I'm sure there, the whistle over the crowd was really hard.
Yeah.
Because they don't have the mics or whatever.
Right.
Like I did at home, like we did at home. So I heard, like, on one of those false starts and on that, I heard the whistle blow. It was very quiet.
Yeah.
But I heard it. So I knew as a fan sitting at home watching the game that he was down, that they had already blown the whistle for him to be down. And then he kept going. So then, of course, it goes to review.
Yeah.
So, and I was thinking there's no way they can overturn this. There's no way they can call that a touchdown. But that would have been, with all the heartbreak that we've had in this Florida series, especially down there in Lexington, would have been just the cherry on the top for all the rest of the heartache to lose that game by that call.
But,
or potentially lose that game by that call, because we had to go for two to take the lead. But
Kentucky didn't lose. Kentucky won 2013. Mm-hmm. And Stoops is,
so we're gonna say the Lord's Prayer, which I forgot to last year. Then we're gonna sing the fight song, and then we're gonna do some damn dancing.
We're gonna do some damn dancing. Stoops was it's good to see him, you know, like, you put all this hard work in, you know, and it's good to see it paying off. You know, I was happy last night. I saw a few guys. I believe Zach Gagan saw a picture of him teared up.
I didn't see that.
Those are the great things that games like this bring.
Mm-hmm.
But with that being said, I was happy because we finally beat somebody worth recognizing.
Anytime you win a game in the SEC, it's worth recognizing.
Yeah,
unless we're talking,
I'm not buying that no more.
Unless we're talking about Vandy,
I'm not buying that no more. I mean, South Carolina was awful. You know they were.
It was on the road, first road game.
Everybody says that.
What happened to Florida coming to Lexington. I know we're better than South Carolina, but coming to Lexington for their first road game and going into that environment last night.
Right, and Matt Jones said we didn't deserve to win. So there's that too.
Yeah. We all know he was on the dumbest shit from Twitter last week.
Right. But man, so, Kentucky pulls it out.
So traveling in the SEC is different. Unless you're going to a place like Vandy.
Or South Carolina.
Vandy's the only school, maybe Missouri. Vandy is the only school that really doesn't give a shit about football.
Right. Yeah.
Unless they're already winning.
That's true, and I am proud to say 5-0. I joke with that, and I really stand by that. Even Paul Feinbaum is saying, you know, wow, now, you know, great win, because it was a good win. But let's be honest here. Mm-hmm. This was Kentucky's first real game.
This was their best win.
Facts.
And now I forget what the hell I was saying. Shit. What the hell were we talking about?
Paul Feinbaum.
No, it's gone. Whatever it was, it's gone.
Right. Well, moving right along, Kentucky is 5-0.
Kentucky's 5-0.
And, man, mm-hmm. what a game. Like, the whole game was just, like, on the edge of the couch, just like, what a
3-0
game.
3-0 in the SEC for the first time, for only the third time in the last 44 years.
Yeah, it's big.
And, you know, I called myself out on Twitter for this.
I forgot that.
They started 3-0 in 2018.
I saw that. Yeah.
For some reason, I was thinking they lost one game early in the SEC, but no.
Right.
And the last time before that was in 1977. So what they're doing this year hasn't been done a whole lot with the Kentucky football program.
They're playing defense.
Mm-hmm.
The offense.
Speaking of that, just brought my thought right back. We haven't seen Kentucky play a full game yet.
Right. That's true.
So. Three SEC games, they haven't played their best football yet, and they're 3-0.
Yeah.
Two of those games they would have lost in the past. Well, all three of those games they would have lost in the past.
Facts.
Right?
True.
So
true.
The fact that they're able to win these games without the help of a dominant offense or an explosive offense in SEC play speaks to how good this team can be, where that team's ceiling could be if everything starts to click.
Right.
And you know, the bye week's coming up in a couple of weeks. I think after the Georgia game, they got a bye week.
Yeah.
So you're probably not going to see a whole lot of difference from the offense going into the LSU game, going into the Georgia game.
Better see it coming into the Georgia game.
Coming out of the bye week where you just get a full week to just work on yourself before you start preparing for the other team.
Right.
You should see some improvement, especially against a Mississippi State team that I don't think is really all that good on defense. So, Mike Leach's teams generally aren't good on defense anyway.
Right.
They want to outscore you.
Yeah. So, I mean, it is what it is. Kentucky 5-0 now, 3-0 in SEC. One of three teams undefeated, Bama, Georgia, Kentucky. That's where we are. And we pull it out, storm the field. It's a party. And LSU next.
Mm-hmm.
What do you think about that coming up?
I think we're going to beat LSU.
Oh, I do too.
Who did they play last night? Was it Auburn?
Yes, that was a good game. That game came on after the Kentucky game.
24-19 or whatever was.
Real close game, yeah.
Yeah, so, but I don't think LSU's really all that good.
I don't either.
Who else did they lose? Because they're, 3-2 on the year now?
But you can't overlook them.
You can't overlook them. And I don't think in league we will ever see Kentucky overlook somebody.
Right.
Or get caught in a trap game.
Right. Yeah. you got LSU and they're down.
They're
down a bit. So, and then you Georgia after that. So I could see a little bit of maybe looking past LSU. Like a smidge? I don't know. I don't think they
will. Because, again, it's going to be in Lexington. It's going to be at night. It's going to be another crazy atmosphere. Like, SEC Nation's coming. So, it's going to be pretty crazy. And if they pull that game out, you know, they're ranked number 14 and number 16 in the two polls right now.
Yeah.
They win that game and go into Georgia undefeated, possibly in the top 10.
Yeah.
You know, we haven't seen that since 2007. You know, where they beat LSU at night. And I think they got to number 8 or whatever.
Yeah.
And they had Florida the next week in Lexington at night. And I think it was a close to like 41-34 or something like that, 45-41. Something, you know, another close game, but they lost that game. And that kind of started in that season, the drop off to end the season.
Right.
2018, you know, you had that shot. I think that but they get up to number 10 in the rankings in 2018. Going to Georgia for the SEC East title and kind of laid an egg in that game. But I don't think this team is really going to do something like that when that type of thing is on the line anymore.
Right. I'd like to see the offense pick it up a bit. I think they will.
I think it will. I think that's the next hurdle to get over when you're talking about a guy who hasn't been a starting quarterback since high school.
Right.
First year starting quarterback, and the first year he's doing is in the SEC. That's a hard thing to do when you haven't been that guy.
Hey, coach and staff, tell this quarterback he can run the ball.
Yeah,
because he can. You're not
the only one that's talking about him doing that to try and get settled into a game.
Right.
You know, Van Hiles was tweeting about it today.
Oh, damn! Great you minds know? Think alike.
Yeah. You know,
Van, I love to hear that.
You know, it gets him hit a couple of times, gets him into the game, whatever. But yeah, I think we're gonna see the offense take a step up.
Yeah.
From what we've seen the last few games.
Right.
Especially the last two games when you're talking about South Carolina and Florida from the passing game. Because, I mean, we threw for almost 250 yards against Chattanooga. As bad as they were struggling in that game offensively, the numbers still didn't look terrible.
Right.
From the passing game. So it's there. I just think you've seen it in these SEC games. He's holding the ball longer than he did in these other games and just not letting it rip, letting his natural ability come through and throw the ball.
Right.
Because we know how great he is.
Well, for one, I think that, too, the problem is he knows who he wants to target. First guy being Wandell. We know that.
Mm-hmm.
Well, now you start playing these good teams, and Wandell's not going to be open like he was in those first four right. games, or and first that, three games,
where,
rather.
And that's where I'm talking about him not trusting what he's seeing out
right.
there.
Right.
You know, because he's sticking on Wandell or Ali or whoever this deep threat is at the time.
Right.
Too long. And it doesn't give him time to come down to his other reads and to his dump offs and his little throws in the flats. And, yep. and you know, he's staying with those other reads too long.
Yeah.
And you see that with a lot of quarterbacks. I think, you know, as a Browns fan, you see it with Baker Mayfield at times when OBJ is on the field. He stays with OBJ a little bit too long at times, and it doesn't give him time to come down to these other routes that are open, and he's got to tuck it and run, or he takes a sack. But when he just gets back there and he just goes through and he reads and just targets the open receiver,
right?
He's good. That's what Levis has to do. Okay, my first guy is covered. Second guy, you know, whatever.
Right.
You know, you're tight end in the flat. You're running back out of the backfield. You know, we're talking about this like it's easy to do.
Yeah, yeah.
Because it's
a
really
lot
not.
Harder. To do
it's a lot harder to do
say.
It than what we're saying it is.
Right.
Because if we could do that, we wouldn't be sitting here talking about it.
I will say this, though, that a lot of guys that were personally in touch with Will Levis said that, you know, his IQ was off the charts, super mm-hmm. smart. And now here right. we are going into game six. And
that doesn't have anything to do with your football IQ or your smarts. That has to do with, okay, that's the guy I want to go to. And I'm going to stay on him as long as I can and hope that I just don't have time to get to this other guy.
Right.
That's something that it's got, cause he's probably more comfortable throwing it to Wandale.
Right.
And I think some of these times where we've talked about him underthrowing him on these deep routes, it was him overthinking that throw. Like, man, don't screw this up when you let it go.
Right.
You know, you don't want to airmail him, and then he ends up underthrowing it instead of just letting it go and not even thinking about it. Just yeah. trust that your receiver is going to get to where you throw the ball and throw the ball. So, but I think we're going to see that evolution that start to change, that start to come through as we start to end this season.
Yeah.
So, and then coming into next year is probably where you're really going to see what Will Levis is fully capable of doing. You're going to see flashes of it this year.
Right.
Which we've seen flashes of it. But I think next year would be the year that it would all get put together.
The future.
Because he'd have a bright. Full off season.
Right.
In the offense. He does, you know, he's not just going to be coming in the summer and starting fall practice.
Right.
He's going to have a full spring, summer, and everything. So,
right.
I think it's going to be, we're going to start seeing that change and that uptick in the offense sometime in the next couple of weeks.
Right. The future is bright.
Mm-hmm.
Big Blue
Especially
Nation.
On that defensive line.
Yeah.
Because we lost Boy last night pretty early in that game, and Justin Rogers came in and kicked some ass.
He did. That's my guy. That's yes, our guy.
That's our guy.
That's our guy.
Came in, I think he played 43 snaps. So
held it down.
He
held
did
it down.
His job.
Yeah.
So I think, you know, maybe that game last night was his kind of wake up and his realizing what potential he really has.
Right.
Because that Florida offensive line wasn't a joke.
No.
That was a good offensive line.
Yeah.
And he played his ass off last night and was disruptive and did everything that you need him to do as an interior lineman, which then allowed Josh Pascal to do what he did last night.
Yeah. Unbelievable. Kentucky mm-hmm. now 5-0. And mm-hmm. LSU up next. Big Blue Madness coming up October the 15th. If you got tickets, great. If you didn't, sorry, you're going to miss out. I got tickets, and it was it was hard. They were hard to get. I was 50th. I was 50th, 50 in line in queue, and still couldn't get good. Still couldn't get it. Oops, 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 oops. I was like, "What the hell, dude? I'm 50th in line," and I finally got four tickets. My wife and daughters will be going. Of course,
I was number 1,821 in the queue when I got in there.
Damn.
Because I was sitting on the couch and, you know, I'd been up since 3:30 in the morning, forgot what time it was.
Right.
I didn't even think it was Friday. I mean, that's where my mind was.
Yeah.
Now, you had texted me earlier in that day if I was going to get Big Blue Madness tickets. Didn't even occur to me that it was Friday.
Right.
Not even in the slightest. I was like, I don't know. I can't go. So I was going to get it. I was going to try and get tickets. And if I would have gotten them.
Give them away.
The people that listen to Religiously Kentucky
right.
would have had a chance if they didn't get tickets to get a set of tickets from us.
Right.
But I messed it up and now you guys are out of luck.
but it should be a fun time.
Now you just got to listen to us because you like us.
Right, right. Should be a good time. Basketball right around the corner. I mean, mm-hmm. We're getting pumped up
Two
for that.
Two visitors on campus this weekend too.
And what's crazy is we would have been talking about this, not us, but Big Blue Nation. A bigger percent of Big Blue Nation already, you know, you get that every year. Is it basketball season yet? Because right. of the football. And you ain't having that now with Mark Stoops. You're not having that.
You don't have it as much, no.
Right, right.
But there's still those negative fans out there that are bitching.
What are you supposed to be, a disappointment?
Regardless if we're 5-0.
Yeah.
Doesn't matter how you got there.
Right.
All that matters is that you got there.
I feel like that's aim toward me, JD.
it's aimed towards everybody that's complained about the 5-0 start for any reason.
Right, right.
The teams that they've played, right. Jay Hayes.
Well, I'm not complaining because I love 5-0.
The way that the offenses look, you know.
But that's being realistic. And those things are being realistic. We have not played anyone.
But you have to take – you can't live your life as a miserable fan.
Right.
And those fans that are just pointing out the negatives.
Always.
And bitching and complaining.
Always, yeah.
Are always negative.
Right.
They don't care that they're 5-0. It's, yeah, but.
Right.
Yeah, but.
Right. It's Kentucky.
But nothing. They're 5-0.
Right.
That's all that matters. It doesn't matter how you got there or how it looked getting there. All that matters is that you got there. You got from point A to point B. It doesn't matter if you went through C, D, and then back to B
right,
to get
right.
there.
The same fan says, oh, he ain't going to make it in the NBA. Mm-hmm. That's that fan.
Right, exactly.
But like I said, basketball right around the corner. I'm looking forward to it. I'm excited about LSU coming up and then Georgia, 5-0. And I'm saying this, and I said 10-2 for the football team. So
yes, you did.
Let me go ahead and get that out of there for people starting. Whoa, yeah. No, I said 10-2 from the very in the summer. I said 10-2.
Mm-hmm. You did.
And I stick with my team, 5-0. It is what it is. And I'm also saying Final Four for this basketball team.
They have that. There's that chance. If everything gels the way that we think that they're going to, because you have a veteran point guard, you have a veteran big man.
Right.
You have veteran wings who can shoot the ball, mixed in with a great talent in Ty Washington. So you have the makeup of what the best Cal teams have been.
Right.
Now, you don't have that elite guy like an Anthony Davis or John Wall or DeMarcus Cousins or, you know, those type of guys. You know, Karl Towns. You don't have that guy on this team. This team is more like the Brandon Knight team that went to the Final Four. I think that team still has the highest three-point percentage for a season under Cal.
Yeah.
So it's kind of eerily similar.
Right.
To that 2011 Final Four team to this team.
Yeah.
You had veteran leadership with Darius Miller on that team.
Yeah.
You know, so I'm not saying a Final Four is not going to happen.
Right.
For this team, if your floor is Sweet 16, then there's no reason you can't make it to the Final Four.
Right.
Because that's only two more games.
Right.
And once you get into the tournament, it's about matchups.
Right. You're right.
Matchups and guard play. I think we should be good when we're talking about guard play.
Yeah.
But now, do we get the right matchup that favors that? That's what you got to look for in the tournament. You don't always get the right matchup for your team.
In Cal, we trust.
Mm-hmm. We always do.
You know,
on this podcast, anyway.
And I'll point it out once again. We talked about it earlier. Defense wins championships. So I'm looking forward to seeing. We hear and all the guys that are around these people, and you watch them and they talk about mm-hmm. coming out of high school. All they talk about is offense. So I'm curious to see who is that defensive dog. Who's going to be that mm-hmm. guy? Is there a couple of them?
I don't think there needs to be one guy.
Right.
But what they're going to have to do is they're going to have to play great team defense. They're going to have to communicate really well.
Exactly.
So that if you do get beat off the dribble, if your guy does get past you, you've got the guys rotating to cut that drive off or step up to take that driving lane away, and then the rotation's down to cut, you know.
You got Damian Collins to throw that shit in the stands. That's right.
I took a screenshot of that block on that drill that they were running. And I happened to stop it right at the right moment because I think somebody was saying it was Jacob Toppin or whatever. And I was like, it was Collins. So I took a screenshot of it
yep.
so you could see his number. But his arm, his entire arm
right.
was above the rim.
Yeah.
You're talking, when you're talking about his, that's 3 feet
yeah.
above the rim. How do you get past that?
You don't.
You know?
Hey, you know, there's not been a lot of talk about the Kentucky kid in the last month or so, went talking about these practices and you're seeing players talk and mm-hmm. not much has been mentioned about the Kentucky kid.
Which one? Remember, we got a couple of them now.
You know, the kid that,
well, I know one of them is technically from Cincinnati, but he played basketball in Kentucky.
Not talking about that one.
No, there hasn't been.
Talking about the one, and I'm surprised that
mm-hmm.
the Kentucky media, or some in the Kentucky media, haven't come out and demanded an apology from John Calipari because there is no talk about this kid.
I love him.
I do too.
I hope he does well.
I do too. But
he's like,
is that when you?
He wasn't ready for what the expectations that those fans were putting on him last year.
We're speaking of Dante Allen, folks.
I think Allen knew that.
But there's not.
He wasn't ready. He came out. He had a phenomenal game against Mississippi State.
Right.
Earned the starting spot off that game, and then went to Cal
on a struggling Kentucky team.
Then went back to Cal and said, "I feel more comfortable coming off the bench."
Right. And right. so far this summer, there's mm-hmm. and now last month or so, a lot of talk. These players have been out and about and doing things and. But you're not seeing Dante Allen in none of this.
But you're not seeing a lot of.
You're not hearing.
You're not seeing a lot of individual talk anyway. You're seeing a little bit about Ty. And he may be that dude, you know, as far as that elite point guard that all the best Cal teams have had. He might be that dude.
I'll just go ahead and point that out. Keep your eyes open for that.
So he's about the only one that you're hearing individual talk about. What they're talking about is the team and the chemistry and how good they are together and the bonds that they're building over this summer and fall before the season starts. So they're not, and I like that because it doesn't put the focus on one player over another player.
Right.
It puts the focus on the entire team instead of one guy. You don't have that pressure building on that one player to live up to these expectations that are being put on them by the media and the fans talking about them constantly on Twitter and Facebook or podcasts or whatever.
Even with the focus on the whole team, talking about lineups, talking about people coming off the bench first. There has been no Dante Allen talking. And it's going to be interesting to see if those same guys say, what, why, you know, just to see. But
I can tell you right now, if the season goes the way that we think it's going to go, there will not be one whisper about whether or not Dante's playing or not.
Right.
It's just not going to happen. Because in last year's shitty season, a lot of people wanted to be miserable along with them.
Right.
So all they wanted to do was bitch and moan about what they wanted, what they wanted to see, what they needed to hear.
Right.
Not what those kids were going through on the floor. Not what those kids were going through in the dorms. Not what those kids were going through day to day.
Right.
All that they cared about was themselves.
Right.
And what they were seeing, hearing, or whatever.
Right. And that's no shot at Dante Allen. I'm being snarky toward the people that you're talking about.
Absolutely not, because Dante Allen didn't deserve that.
Right. You're exactly right.
If they would have just let Dante Allen be Dante Allen, maybe he plays a little bit differently.
Yeah.
Because if you don't think he saw all that talk on Twitter and Facebook and everywhere else.
He saw it.
And on the radio, you don't think he heard that or had people saying, hey, listen, these guys all think you should be playing more. Why ain't you playing more?
Right.
Cal doesn't want you to play. Cal hates you.
Yeah.
You don't think that affected the way he went out and executed on the floor? Come on. He's 19 years old. Of course it was affecting him.
Yeah.
You can't just block that stuff out when everybody's talking about it.
Right.
So regardless of what you thought you were doing, and if you thought you were doing a good thing with all the pissing and moaning you did about Dante Allen's playing time, I guarantee you, you did more harm than good to that kid when he stepped foot on the floor.
Facts.
100%.
Yeah. I mean, that's the bold truth that just smacked you across the face. The voice of reason has spoken.
And we talked about the atmosphere at Coker Field last night.
Yeah.
There were a lot of recruits at that game.
Yeah.
How do we think that atmosphere that they saw last night from the BBN is going to affect recruiting from this weekend?
Yeah.
What do you think, Jay? Think it's going to have an impact?
Big time.
Because Keontae Goodwin already came out and said it was amazing.
Big time impact.
So we know he's committed already, but I believe there was a wide receiver from Alabama that was there. Some little recruit named Bona was at that game.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah.
So for them to see the fans the way that they were last night, it's got to have an impact.
Yeah.
You can't be naive enough to think that them seeing that and hearing that last night isn't going to have an effect on them. Like, wow.
Right.
I really want to play.
This is home.
This is where I want to be.
This is where I want to be.
That's a Kentucky accent.
Dante Rump's kid tweeted about it last night, you know, saying he didn't realize how lit his dad's alum could be after a big football win. And he had like four pictures of couches burning and stuff, talking about how he wanted that offer to come play and follow in his dad's footsteps after that game last night, seeing that.
Big Blue Nation showed out.
It was amazing.
They did.
And I said it from the jump. I hate every one of you that were at that game.
Yeah.
Every one of you.
Yeah. Amazing.
I'm so jealous of everybody that was at the game, at a bar in Lexington, like just being there and able to experience that game that way in this season.
Yeah.
Especially after coming off last season.
Right.
You know, when there was no fans in the stands and all that.
Right.
So
truly amazing.
Yeah. I'm a little salty. I wasn't there.
Right.
I had to work I was supposed to be at the LSU game next week. I got to work that game too.
Right. Right. Well, so, we're 5-0.
Mm-hmm.
Big Blue Madness coming up.
Big Blue Madness coming up.
Real quick, who's going to have the best dance? I'm going to say Sevier Weller. Sevier Weller, his swagger is.
I was going to go with Ty Ty.
Okay, you go with Ty. I'm going to go with Sevier Weller.
Because to be as confident as he is on the floor, you think he's going to have to bring something to the dance.
Right.
You would think. But, you know, as good as Brandon Knight was, I don't think he danced at all when he came into Big Blue Madness.
Right. Right.
So if I'm comparing this team to the Brandon Knight team, Ty Ty would be that Brandon Knight guy. He's probably going to come out and just be like,
wave. Hey, hi, Big Blue Nation. How you doing? Severe Weller's character. He's going. Got some moves, man. I already know.
Yeah.
But I'm excited about it. I'm excited. What a weekend for Big Blue Nation.
Jacob Toppin might be a dark horse for that one.
Yeah. Yeah, he could be. Toppin's got some moves. But that's where we are. Real quick, you know what time it is. The dumbest shit from Twitter this week. And we just got a couple things to touch on this week. Even though there were a lot of dumb stuff, things, shit said on Twitter last night from Florida fans, from Louisville fans. I mean, that's to be expected. They hate us because they hate us. let me get to this. What did you think about this Coach K first official practice presser is live? Did you see that?
Was it the cartoon thing with the little cartoon?
Yeah.
Dude, that's the dumbest shit ever.
Sitting on a throne.
One of the greatest college basketball coaches ever, and that's the bullshit that you put out for his final season, before the first practice. You put out that fucking cartoon? Come on.
Oh man, it was. I mean, that's an invitation to clown on Duke.
That was freaking awful.
That's an invitation to clown.
One of the dumbest things I've ever seen.
Like, I don't even know, but that was funny. That was one of the things in the middle of the week.
When you're Duke and you're sending your coach off into the sunset for his final season, you got to do something better than that. After 40 some years as your coach, and that's what you got for him.
Man.
Come on, man.
Yeah, that was a disappointment. What you got next, JD?
I don't know. I think you've seen Lauren Capps 94 on Twitter today. She's blocked a few of the BBN.
Oh, yeah.
Her first tweet, I think this is the one that's gotten a lot of people blocked. And I'll read a few of her tweets. Her first one was, I call on the NCAA and SEC to look into the officiating of Florida versus Kentucky and strip Kentucky of the win. The rightful team was robbed. Okay. That's tweet number one. Tweet number two. Ball was not in his area and it was uncatchable. Good, no call. Talking about the Wandale pass.
Right.
Tweet number three. That I personally tweeted.
This is the doozy.
LMAO, haha, nope. We won that game. We won fair that game. It's legal if the ball is snapped at zero, which is what Driscoll did then. And they did not rightfully win last night. So she's going back to 2016. I think it was 2016 in that overtime game. When Driscoll did not snap the ball at zero. It went to zero, and then they snapped the ball.
Right.
Facts.
And saying that was a legal play, which I understand. Before anybody tries to say you don't understand the mechanism of that call, I understand the mechanism of that call. You have the back judge who's watching the clock. It goes to zero. He looks down to the ball. But as far as that, as long as it took for them to get that snap off after it went to zero, that's not what happened. Plain and simple. The rightful team did not win last night because if the rightful team would have won, they would have won.
Right.
Whenever you win a game, you are the rightful winner of that game. Just because your offensive line was too damn undisciplined to hold their water and committed 9 false starts or 8 false starts, especially when you got to third down and at the end of the game on goal-to-go chances, it ain't our fault.
Yeah, Karen.
It ain't the SEC official's fault. It's your damn O-line's fault.
Right.
They're the ones that messed it up. Not one of those calls that went against Florida was a bad freaking call. So tell me you don't know football without telling me you don't know football.
Yeah, Karen.
Because it's never legal to tackle a wide receiver when the ball is in the air. Plain and simple, they missed that call. So if any team from that game, if either has a right to complain, it's Kentucky, not Florida. go back to your horses, Karen. Go back to Florida and get the f***ing job.
Yeah, that shit was nuts. Damn, three of them. I mean, like, back to back to back, just dumb shit.
I was going through that whole thread of her replying back to Kentucky fans. And she was reporting them for them calling her out for her stupid tweets.
Yeah.
Like, you've been reported.
Really? Yeah, Karen.
Twitter's not going to do anything about these tweets that you're reporting people for.
Damn.
Like, they're not telling you to go kill yourself, or they're going to come down there and attack you, or any of the, Twitter's not going to do anything for what you're reporting there, Lauren.
Right. That's
take
crazy.
That L. Take that L from last night.
Take that L.
And take it back to Gainesville.
Man. And then we got Chris in Georgia. Last one. Chris in Georgia. He acts like UK couldn't go 500 and they still wouldn't put them in the tournament. Some schools actually have to earn their spot. UK is the Lady Vols of men's basketball, a once elite program that's falling on hard times and lives off its history.
Can we just pass on this one? My brain hurts.
That's just
after reading, because I saw that when it happened. Did I send that to you?
Yeah,
I think I did. I just can't. Like, yeah.
Let's end it there.
Our fans know after you reading that tweet, just how freaking stupid it was. Right.
Yes.
Is there any need for either one of us to go in on that guy?
No. Let me just say the tagline. That was the dumbest shit from Twitter.
I don't even have the words. I don't even have the words to even address that tweet.
Oh man. That was dumb.
Because
shit.
We've said the same shit over and over and over about these dumbass tweets that keep bringing that shit up and keep saying the same damn stuff.
I know. It's amazing. It's just, yeah, I mean.
We're going to put that not safe for work on this episode.
Yeah. Yeah. But overall, man, what a weekend. A lot of recruits that you pointed out were here in Lexington for this amazing atmosphere weekend, and now we got Big Blue Madness coming up. Football is rolling. Basketball is right around the corner with the first big matchup with Duke and Coach K and his little throne.
And his goat. His little cartoon goat.
So I'm looking forward to it, man. And people,
there's a cartoon John Shire in that picture, too.
Oh, yeah. And people are going to say the dumbest shit on Twitter always.
Always.
It is what it is, and we're going to make fun of it. But, man, what a great week. Kentucky now.
It was awesome. It was an awesome weekend.
5-0, yeah. Beating Florida.
Mm-hmm. You know, my teams went undefeated this weekend, so good football weekend for me. Might not have always looked the greatest, but I said it before. I'll say it again. It doesn't matter how you get to your record. Your record is what it is.
Right. My Packers are kicking ass. So
your Packers won, I believe.
Yeah.
I think that game's over. So 27-17 was the final. I saw somebody tweet about it. I think it was Isaiah was doing a space about it.
Yeah. Sorry, Stoll fans.
I'm not.
Right. Right.
I wish they would have lost 50-0.
Right.
I hate the Steelers.
Big Blue Nation, man. Keep doing what you do, man. Show up and show out, man. You guys rock.
And bring that same enthusiasm you had last night next week.
Yes.
Bring that same enthusiasm you had last night to Rupp Arena.
Yes, definitely to Rupp.
Like, I sit in the upper level. My season tickets are in the upper level, right? And you always see fans on Twitter talking about how it's so quiet in there. And these are fans that are watching it on TV.
Right.
When you're in the arena, it sounds different.
Yeah.
Even if you're in the lower level. But you can make those fans that are watching it on TV feel that if you get more rowdy.
That's right.
If you bring that same passion and that same enthusiasm that they had last night to those games at Rupp Arena.
Right.
Damn the people that are telling you to sit down.
Right.
If you don't want to sit down, don't sit down. Stand up and yell.
Hell yeah.
Just be excited and be loud.
That's right.
And make Rupp Arena the home court advantage that Kroger Field was last night for that football team.
Big Blue
Nation. Because without a doubt, it without a doubt had an impact on how that game played out.
Show out. Be loud.
Show everybody why BBN is the best fan base in this country.
And with that being said, I'm your guy Jay Hayes, and he is
JD Hall.
And we are Religiously Kentucky.
This was another episode of Religiously Kentucky.
It was great. Thanks for the hospitality.
If you liked this episode, make sure to give us a like and subscribe so you don't miss out on any future episodes and our opinionated take on the world of Kentucky sports. Religiously Kentucky.